Life Surfer.
Vivid Life Surfer.
Podcast listener.
Podcast listener.
How the heck are you? Welcome.
Stoke City, bitch.
It is the fastest growing surf podcast in North America worldwide.
Mid Life Surfer. My name's Jeff. I'm a small wave lover. I'm a Craigslist scroller. I'm a, let's see here, 6'0 to 9'10. Lower intermediate
ripper slasher.
And I'm a fledgling podcaster, the most half-assed podcast North America worldwide. But maybe that's why you like this. I don't know. If it wasn't half-assed, then I wouldn't keep going. That's for sure. But we're trying to step our game up. And I guess I'm going to step my game up if I get enough donations to get some new equipment. Something called a Rodecaster. It's kind of rad. I saw that David Lee Scales uses it with a Surf Splendor. The great Adam Montiel, the producer of this podcast and also a great podcast if you like wine. His podcast has kicked my podcast's ass in terms of episode listenership. But I think there's more, well, for one, it's a better podcast. And then secondly, I think there's more wine drinkers than surfers out there. But I don't know. Anyway, it's called Where Wine Takes You. He uses a Rodecaster, and what that would allow is I can get a couple microphones. I was thinking it would be fun to have like Alex and say Eric on at the same time, or you know, you've heard friends I've had here about Ryan Lynch and you know, my surf bro Jason on at the same time. We could talk boards and how about interviewing someone with a little help? Because my questions, you know, might not be as good as someone else's. It'd be great to have another perspective on this pod. So anyway, if you want to help get in on the improvement of this half-ass podcast, you could donate at midlifesurfer.com. And have you heard about our Oroco promo? Oroco promo. Every $5 donation gets you a ticket. And that ticket enters you into a raffle, a drawing. I keep a spread. It's very crude. I keep a spreadsheet. I write your name. I'm going to read off a couple gentlemen and ladies who donated. And, you know, like, for instance, a guy named, let's see here. I said gentlemen and ladies because that's just my default to include both sexes. But to be honest, I've only gotten a donation from one lady, I think, in the 2 years of this pod. So step it up, ladies. A gentleman named Joe, for example, he donated $20 and he wrote a best surf related podcast out there. Well, that's disinformation, but I appreciate it, Joe. So he gave me $20. That equals 4 raffle tickets. So I make a little spreadsheet and I enter 4 cells with Joe's name in it. And at some point, I'm going to chop them all up and do a drawing in my San Francisco Giants hat. And the winner is going to get $200 in Oroco gear. Check out Oroco. Alex Check is about as core as they come. He was on my last pod if you haven't gotten to know him just yet. And he makes a beautiful shirt and he makes some kick-ass hats. They're all Waterman related gear, whether it's a fish, whether it's just a picture of some calming waves, you know, really beautiful colors too. And it's low key. It's not, they are logos, but they're like subtle logos that look good on shirts. In fact, I'm wearing one right now. Anyway, $200 in Oroco gear. Go to Oroco.com. I think his Instagram is Oroco Life too. So check him out. And he wants to help with the show. And he does every time he's on. I appreciate his stories. He's a former pro bodyboarder. He's a graphic arts teacher at a local high school here. And just general cool dude. I had a good surf with him the other day too. At a little secret spot called Steamer Lane in Santa Cruz. And it was good size. It was a perfect size for me. I mean, I read 5 to 6 feet, 4 to 5 feet on Surfline. West, northwest swell. I took my 8-0 Michel Junod egg out. That thing is thick. That thing's like 3 1/16 thick, and it's 23 wide, and it's 8 feet long. And I feel like a good surfer when I surf on it. It's a good balance between, it's just good for me, really. 9 years in surfing. Sometimes you don't want to log it, right? Sometimes that 9-10 is just a little much. And then, you know, my 7-0 or whatever, you know, is just a little not enough, because when you get out to a place like the Lane or Rincon or any popular spot, it becomes an arm race out there, right? I like shortboarding when I have a little space, you know, I got some leg room out there. I'm not competing with people. I like, you know, surfing a beach, for example. You could find your own wave. Excuse me. I'm all stuffed up today. I don't know if it's allergies or a little cold. Dry cough. Anyway, I had a nice surf with Alex on a Sunday morning. I caught what I would call some bombs. where I took some mean drops, and you just keep the faith. You're looking over the ledge, and that's one area where I have improved for sure. And there's a couple other spots in town here that offer that same ledgy experience. And I don't even know if I have the right board for it, but I've gotten better at like just looking over the edge of that wave and just having faith and taking off. Thanks to my Brad Gerlach wave key reps, my takeoffs are so much better, and I don't even think about them anymore. It's just muscle memory. And then you just stomp forward and land it, and then down the line you go, try to do a nice graceful cut back into the whitewash, totally forget about holding the coffee cup, like our friend Luke Hardacre told me of Ombi Surf. But I have tried to narrow my stance a little bit and kind of take what the wave gives you, right? Like if you can kind of get in the pocket, be a little more present and just focus on staying in the pocket. At least I find I surf better. I end up doing a turn or something that feels good. I don't know if it looks good. Actually, I know how it looks. It looks like shit because I go to a surf line and then I go back. It's the douchiest thing to do and it's so narcissistic, but I'll admit it. It's just me and you. What the hell? That's what this pod's all about. I go back and, you know, all right, I caught that wave at 6:45 in the morning. All right. And then I just kind of make a note, mental note. And then right when I get out of the water, I get home and I open up that app and I rewind to 6:45 and then I zoom in and I'm like, oh, there I am. Yeah, here's that wave. First thing I think is, well, that wasn't half as big as it felt. And then the second thing I think of is like, boy, I have a wide stance. I look like a beginner out there. So, you know, on one hand, I do that to improve, which, you know, tells me to narrow my stance, right? And then on the other hand, I'm better off not watching it because it felt so good and then it looked so bad. I don't know. Surfing's cruel. But that's why you're with us, right? That's why you tune in, because we think about it all the time and you never get there. It's a journey. You'll never reach a destination. Maybe if you're trying to achieve a specific thing, like you're trying to do a backside air or something. How many listeners do airs listening to this podcast? I have a feeling it's not many. If you have done an air and landed it and you listen, will you please write me an email? Just let me know. midlifesurfer@gmail.com. Not as like a, excuse me. Oh, those gosh darn acacias. Woo! God bless Allegra. Anyway. You know, not as a flex, like, yeah, I could do an air, bro, but I'm just curious the level of a surfing acumen that listens to this pod. I get a lot of feedback, and more often than not, the listener is about my level, and that's great, and that's probably why we connect and relate to each other, and probably why we're all friends. But anyway, I'm just rambling. It's a train of thought going on here, and that's what this surf podcast is all about. So I'm going to stay on track and look at my my agenda. Have you had news anxiety lately? I have. I can't lie. I've been a little bummed out related to what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, actually, specifically. And I wonder, like, should I just, I don't know. You ever think, first of all, do you get bummed out with this news? Of course you get bummed out with this news, right? And then, like, you got to rush to an opinion. I feel this urge to, like, have an opinion. Well, this and that. If we do this, then this would have happened. Or maybe we should do this right now. Or, you know. And then, but I could be swayed so easily if I just, the latest person to give me their opinion, more often than not, like, convinces me that, oh, yeah, that's the right opinion. Does that mean I'm dumb and I don't have conviction? Or does that mean I'm intelligent and I don't have an open mind? I don't know. But it does stress me out. And God bless those people in Ukraine. You know, what can I say, right? There's nothing I could say that'll convey that. This is a stupid surf podcast. So hopefully this will distract you from it. And I don't even want to dwell on it. But I have been feeling some anxiety about it, about our pending nuclear doom. And I wonder if you feel the same thing. And should I ignore the news? How do you balance? Because I'm addicted to the news, right? I have my sites I look at impulsively. And I'll refresh the page to see what else is going on. And doom scrolling, as it's called. And I do plenty of doom scrolling. I'm an MF Doom scroller. MF Doom. Dude, check out MF Doom for me, okay? That'll put a smile. RIP MF Doom. Still can't believe that gentleman died. He said, dude, that guy was a good balance of like, he had that same pop culture reference you know, flow like Ghostface, you know, Wu-Tang fame. But yeah, he kind of did it with a smile on his face, and it was a little more lighthearted, and it was less threatening to the listener. MF Doom rarely will he tell you that he's going to kill you. Ghostface didn't really threaten you that much either, but he had more of a, you know, Scarface drug trade kind of violent edge to his lyrics. I saw Ghostface once at the Catalyst with another rapper named 12 O'Clock, I want to say, probably 2005-ish, and I drank so much I threw up on the curb after the show, but it was a good show. Anyway, MF Doom scrolling. I do a lot of that, and I wonder, obviously, I know I should not be doing that. That's not good for your brain, but how do I stay informed? How do you stay informed, but also not trip out on the news? I don't know. If you have any advice, if you've like totally cut yourself off of the news or maybe lessened it to a degree that it helped your mental health, I'd love to hear about that too. If you find the news affects your mental health, as it does mine, I'd love to hear about that too. You could find me at Midlife Surfer Podcast on Instagram, direct message me. Speaking of like doom scrolling, I deleted that app. I delete that app in between episodes more often than not because it's just addictive, and I got enough distractions in this life between trying to do my job well and be a dad and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, yeah, I've been anxious about that. Surfing helps. And then you know what cheered me up? I was looking at listenership of my pod, and I just want to say to the great, great people of Mexico, muchas gracias por escuchar mi podcast. Eres un amigo y te lo agradezco. I think I just said, you're a friend and I thank you. But anyway, hey, I'm getting listens down in Mexico. Baja listens, Oaxaca, Baja Sur, Jalisco, Guerrero, Puebla, Quintana Roo, Ciudad de Mexico. I want to go to Mexico City someday. Nuevo León, and I think you say Nayarit. Anyway, I only had one download from Nayarit and Nuevo León, but muchas gracias to whoever that discerning intellectual listener is. I was stoked to see my Mexican number, so I just want to shout out to my listeners in Mexico and say thank you very much. I appreciate it. You know, I mentioned the donation deal to upgrade this pod. I'm not going to spend it on coffee and Nicorette. I'm really stocked up on that. Costco has good deals on Nicorette. Don't buy a Wave Storm there, but you know they have good nicotine gum. And then I think that's where my wife gets the coffee too. So anyway, I'm stocked up on that. So now I'm saving toward some podcast gear. I have a feeling it's going to take me like 2 years to get there. But every cent you donate, I'm splitting with Adam Montiel. And I appreciate it. I want to give a shout out to my man, Joe. Told me this is the best surf-related podcast out there. That's quite flattering. Did not anticipate hearing that when I started this in April of 2020. How about this? David, my man David, we're friends on Instagram. He wrote me a year or two ago saying I'm enjoying this podcast, and it really helps. Every time someone compliments me, it pats my weak ego on the back, and it puts a little wind in my sail to keep going. And in fact, he wrote, keep going. Great conversation this week. He threw down for $20, so he's got 4 tickets in the drawing. How about this one? Dan. I like that name, Dan. One of my boys is named Daniel. He wrote, hey, Jeff, I love the podcast. I'm everyone's favorite menace in the lineup. I'm a recent California transplant from the Midwest, and I'm a VAL. That's a vulnerable adult learner. And I've only been surfing for a little over a year. So I'm willing to bet Dan has not busted any airs. That being said, I'm fully obsessed with surfing, and it's always been on my bucket list to learn. I spend much of my free time as much as I can in the water, and it always is a treat to drive to the beach listening to your pod. I'm usually surfing somewhere in Ventura County, rocking a 7.9 Pearson Arrow fun board, which I think was shaped in bucolic, quote-unquote, Santa Cruz. Indeed it was, Pearson Arrow. Also featured in the cheesy, but I would say good movie, Chasing Mavericks, which is a good family movie featuring one Gerard Butler, who apparently made a lot of lady friends in Santa Cruz during his time filming. So I've heard, allegedly. I actually had a chance to paddle out at the Hook a few months ago while I was up north on a pretty mellow day and had a great time. Managed to avoid getting vibed too hard from a local crew and got a couple fun ones. I picked up a bunch of little surf tips, especially when it comes to etiquette. That's nice. If I could teach, look, one thing I'm sure about is I know etiquette. Everything else, I couldn't really tell you much, but etiquette, I'm into being polite. paddle over the shoulder. Sometimes if that guy's screaming down the line, turn and paddle right into that whitewash just to take your medicine. Don't get in anyone's way and give some waves away and you will earn respect out there. IMHO. Let's see here. Etiquette. Just wanted to say I appreciate what you do. Your guests and stories are always entertaining. And I'm always stoked when I see a new episode is up. Thanks again. P.S. I entered the Oroco raffle with 4 tickets under my Twitter handle. And to protect his privacy, I won't give you his Twitter handle. But thank you, Daniel. Good man. God bless you. I really appreciate that. And you are entered to win some Oroco gear, $200 worth. Let's see, what else? Tom, nice to hear from Alex again and a chance to win some excellent gear. He's entered. So, listen, I'm getting some donations and more importantly, we're getting some participants in this drawing. And I hope you throw down a little bit too. Throw me $5 and I'm not going to donate it to a charity. Although I do donate to charities, although I keep that quiet because I think when you donate, it's better not to tell anybody because I don't know. Because that's what I learned as a little Catholic boy. Anyway, thank you for donating. It will go to a good cause, not Nicorette and caffeine, although I would argue those are great causes, but toward improving this podcast and also for the work that Adam Montiel does. Let's talk about surfing. I told you about Surfing the Lane. There's another spot in town. I'm not going to mention it anymore because I was told not to blow it up, so I'm not. But it's a beach break and it's heavy and it's in town. I've always found it to be heavy. I don't know why it's heavy. For some reason, the ocean's channeled in that direction and it just wants to detonate on your ass. Sometimes it closes out and then other times it peels left and right. I hate going left. I found myself into a right. I can't lie. I genuflected a little bit, little Father, Son, Holy Spirit before I paddled out on this day. It was approximately 7 to 8 feet per surf line standards. It looked huge per my standards. And, but you know what was nice is there was a huge swell interval. It was like 20 seconds or something stupid like that. And, the waves were big, but they weren't punishing. And, I survived. I got out for like 45 minutes. I played hooky, just paddled out around lunchtime. It was perfect. Took out my 7.0, Michelle Jeannot Speed Seed. Which is, I had this 6.8 Carver. It was a 2+1. And this Speed Seed's more, I guess, less rocker and more kind of pintail-y. It kind of looks like a 70s, like shortboard, you know? And it's really pretty. And I really like it. It takes, I don't know. It's my speed, right? It's like 21 wide and 2 7/8 thick, I want to say. And, you know, 7 feet and approximately, I don't know, 46 to 48 liters. A little difficult to duck dive. You really got to nail it. But I survived out there. And in fact, I caught some of my best waves I've caught in a long time. And one specific memorable wave was, well, there's this right that was coming through. Again, mostly lefts. And I just suck at going left. So I kind of had my eyeballs on the right. I waited patiently. First time I dropped in on it. Again, over the ledge, you know, had faith. I stumped forward. I went down the line. And then it was this perfect wall. And I was thinking, Brad Gerlach, all right. Yeah, like, you know, Ready for that bottom turn, shifting your weight to your front foot while twisting, you know, eyeing the target, coffee cup. And then I just froze and I just couldn't do it. I was just so excited. It was kind of like, when a wide receiver is wide open and then he, you know, like is already thinking, he's already running toward the end zone before he even receives the ball and then he drops it. That's how I felt. It's like I saw the end zone before I caught the ball. And I dropped the ball. And so I had to just jump through the face of the wave and ate me up. And I was like, damn it. If I could only have that one more time. And it was about I'm 6 feet tall. So 6'2". And, I don't know. It was about head high, right? It was a good size for me. About as big as I like to surf. And, that was among the middle size waves that were coming through on that day. And so I hunted down that righty again. I found it. I dropped in on it this time. I don't know. I just ate shit somehow. And so I was like, I got one more shot at this, man. My last wave, I'm taking it all the way in and I'm going to nail it because I felt like I had the rhythm down to this wave. I knew where to take off and I just felt dialed in. And lo and behold, I waited 10 minutes or so and it came and it was overhead this time. And it was among the bigger drops I've taken. And I freaking nailed it. I kind of, I caught it, but then I took my time. I angled to the right on my stomach a little bit. And then I took off. This time I thought, I'm not going to drop down the face. I'm going to try to pump more or less and just get down the line first before going down the face and attempting a bottom turn. And I did that. I kind of did a pump, got high in the lip, took a drop, did a bottom turn, went back up the wave. And like tried to look cool, and then took another drop. And then, you know, you see it's about to close out, and at this spot, it gets rocky, and you just don't want to get, you can, it'll just punish you on the sand or whatever lies beneath. So you gotta kick out in time. I always judge competent surfers by like those who kick out really well. And so I attempted the kick out, but you ever launch yourself off a wave? It's one of my favorite things to do. I'm sure it's probably kooky to do, but it's really fun. You really feel the velocity and the speed judging by how high you're launched and how powerful you're launched. Excuse me, stuffed nose. I'm sorry. Anyway, I didn't have time. I couldn't make it. I couldn't get my board. I could not go back up the face of the wave and get my board out of there in time. So I launched, and I launched high. I don't know how high I launched, but I did a huge backflop. It probably was my biggest launch ever. And by virtue of my backflop, I thought that was a badass launch, and I had fun. I don't even care if it looked kooky. I liked it. And right when I landed, I felt my ankle, the leash, the sweet release of my leash from my ankle, the wave and all of its, in all of its glory and strength ripped the board off of my ankle and took it on in. And it was a pretty big day. Swimming in on a big day, is actually feels easier and safer than, surfing on a big day, in that you don't have to manage your board. So you can just let the water take you in. So yeah, there were some 7-8 there. It was overhead for sure. I confirmed that with the buddy with whom I was surfing. And I just kind of body surfed all the way in. It ate me up, held my breath, tumbled. And then, you know, my board was just sitting there upside down, just sitting right on the sand, not a ding in sight. And it felt so good. That wave I just had, I was still flying high off of that. I kind of thought it was cool that I lost my board and had to go swim for it. I was stoked there was no dings on my board, because damn, I ding boards. And I just picked it up, and then my buddy kind of, I was going to paddle back out for one more, and then I saw him coming in. I said, you know, that's the perfect one to end it. So I did that. So I just wanted to share that experience with you. I had a good time with that. And then what other time did I surf? I surfed Rincon, the famous secret spot known as Rincon down in Santa Barbara. I have some in-laws down south, and I always make a note to bring my log, and I brought my 910. I recommend getting a sock if you're going to mount a board on the roof of your car, because I had, you know, I have one of those big pro light bags or whatever, and the whole time down, my wife, didn't even bother her. It bothers the shit out of me. And so we got, you know, I don't know, it's about a 6-hour drive from Santa Cruz down to Santa Barbara area. And, of course, with a stop at In-N-Out and Santa Maria, etc., and two wild boys, which is the boys lose their bandwidth at about the 2-hour mark. It just all falls to shit, and it really tests our will and patience. I got a 5- and an 8-year-old, and I love them to death, but boy, do not drive your 5- and 8-year-old from Santa Cruz to Santa Barbara. I don't recommend it. But I went out there sunrise on a Saturday morning, and, you know, of course, it said it was like 0 to 1 foot low tide. And I knew just from past experiences that that meant that it was going to be a nice, kind longboard wave out there waiting for me. And indeed there was. I even considered going leashless, but I don't know the spot, and I'm glad I didn't, because I would have lost my board a couple times. I find I only go leashless, namely at Capitola, when I'm feeling confident. And then also because I just know how that wave works. And when I go leashless at a new wave, or even a wave I surf normally, but I don't longboard often, I always will lose my board. And anyway, so I wore a big old dumb, you know, 10-foot leash, and I was glad I did. And I don't know, what can I say? There's so many good longboarders out there. Shout outs to the Rincon longboarders. And I've had experiences out there, and I found that there's a high douche factor, kind of like, not hipster, but like, I don't know, kind of pretty boy, super good at logging, nice board, all going to take everything and anything, never share a wave, never look you in the eye. Just kind of like, I'm not acknowledging your presence kind of vibe, which is fine. You know, I can deal with that. But this time, it was really friendly out there. In fact, there was a guy on a board, and it was from Trimcraft, I learned. And it had like no rocker on it. And the rails were really chined. I think that'd be the term. But they were just really, they were really thin rails. And I said, what kind of board is that? Is that a glider or what? And he goes, no, it's a blah, 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 blah. And he just straight up unsolicited hops off the board, takes his leash off, and just Actually, he was Leisure's, and he just, you know, shoots the board over to me to like check out, offers you, do you want to catch a wave on it? I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to ding your board, but thank you. And then, you know, just a nice guy. And I just had a nice experience out there. And it's funny when you surf with really good longboarders, I got in the mode where either through osmosis or through, observing, you know, burying my tail in that curl, waiting for the right moment and then stepping forward. And I am, it's so funny. Like just, I think I just did like one or two steps that I felt really, that I remembered. And I did it, when I did it, I square up my shoulders. So I'm facing forward. And then I stepped very slowly. And, slow is smooth and smooth is fast, as they say with a golf swing. And I find the more you can slow really everything down in your life, the faster you go. Isn't that strange? At least that's what I've noticed in my 40 years on earth. And, I had a couple good steps and then I did that like crouch down and stick your front foot out. And it kind of, I don't know where it was on the nose, but it was on the nose. And just like, was just holding on like in the curl, with the inside rail buried and going fast. And I'm wondering, okay, when is this thing going to bottom out and when am I going to purl it? But I never purled it. And I just kept going inside toward the beach fast and, almost mini tubed, you know, it felt like. I'm sure it didn't look like that. And I'm sure I was not, but it felt that way and it felt good. So, I don't know. I surfed like 2.5 hours out there. And then when I got out to the parking lot, someone moseyed over, was like, oh, that's a Michael Junod board. I said, yeah, it is a Michel Junod board. And he said, that thing is really pretty. And so where does he make those? And oh, I'm from Santa Cruz, and we talked, and it was just nice. Drove back, picked up the kids, went to the Santa Barbara Zoo. Santa Barbara Zoo has a new feature called the Walkabout. Got to walk around with some kangaroos. I know I have some listeners in Australia, and I know that the kangaroos are no big deal down there. They're probably akin to, you know, deer that I see walking in my front yard occasionally. They're probably more of a nuisance than anything, but very novel to me. Just as novel as when I saw monkeys in Nicaragua. I couldn't believe it. I lost my mind when I saw some damn monkeys in the tree above me. I thought that was the coolest thing. So, yeah, that's the last three times I went surfing. The Lane, Rincon, and an anonymous spot I care not mention. But I'm trying to get it in. I'm looking at surfboards a lot online. I've been talking to Ryan Lynch of Timber Surf Co. Check out timbersurfco.com. I don't think he has his Corky El Corco models up yet. He should call it El Corco, but I think they're called Corkies. They're kind of a hybrid between soft tops and real surfboards. Like its bones are that of a real board that's like EPS and it's glassed. And I'm sorry if I'm getting this wrong, Ryan. And then on top of that, he laminates it with cork. Yeah, cork. You would think cork just sucks up water, but apparently not. And he let me borrow one of them. I think he seals it. You know, he puts a sealer on top, I think, to avoid it from sucking up water. But they do pick up some water, but they dry out. And then you're off to the races again. Interesting build, innovative, and they look really cool. So anyway, if you check out Timber Surf Co. on Instagram, I bet you could check them out. So I've been maniacally scrolling on Craigslist looking for boards. You know, I was looking at a round nose fish redux from Lost, and just trying to kind of I still need to kind of dial in my shortboard option. I miss my Rocket Wide. I had a Channel Islands Rocket Wide. I just didn't like it. Dinged super easy because I ding boards. Also, I didn't like how light it was. It was, I don't know. It was like that bright white with like aluminum rods in it. Looked all bright white with a big black looking stringer, and it was loud looking. I just didn't like it. I like the brand Channel Islands, and I like Britt Merrick every time I've heard him speak, and I like the pros that surf. You know, my man Nat Young, he surfs for Channel Islands. So anyways, Channel Islands Rocket Wide 6.2. If I tripped over one on Craigslist and it was a poly and had Futures fin boxes, I might just buy it and surf it for a while. So anyway, I was texting back and forth with Ryan. I'm like, you know, I want a short board that has this and that, a little more volume. I don't know if I want it longer or thicker. I don't know what I want, but my wife got me this beautiful 6.1 chisel model. It's 20 inches wide. It's 2 7/8, I think, thick, or maybe even 3. And damn it, I dinged it right off the bat. And then it's just so pretty. It was made with this tank wood that was harvested in San Francisco from a water tower in the 1950s. And then the wood set under someone's deck in Walnut Creek. It's just like, I just feel guilty surfing it because it's like a piece of art and it's so pretty. Check my Instagram out if you want to look at it. So you can see the kind of work Ryan does. So right now it's on my wall. It's waxed up. I might take the wax off and just kind of shine it. So anyway, I was telling him that. I'm like, it's so fancy. I have trouble surfing it. And he said, all right, here's what we're going to do, man. Leave it to me. I'm going to make you a shape in the El Corco model. And he even said, like, even if you don't want to buy it, I'm going to make one for you and you can give it back. But of course, I'm going to buy it. I'll sell my Catch Surf to cover the expense of buying this Corky. I don't know when I'm not even going to ask him when it's going to be ready, but he whips them out pretty quick, I think. So he's going to make me a shortboard in a shape that he thinks better caters to my style. And I'm going to surf the damn thing. And I want to take it to, on a heavy, big day, like I described, that I surfed and my leash ripped off my ankle. And he let me borrow one. I took it out to windy, kind of sloppy lane. And I just don't do my best surfing among a huge crowd on any shortboard. And I got in on a couple, but they weren't set waves. They're more like insiders just because I wanted to get some reps. And, you know, it surfed good as far as I could tell. One thing I liked about it was that it didn't flex in the water. I mean, I'm sure it flexed to a degree, but it didn't feel like a wet noodle. You know, those catch surfs, or I would imagine, I never surfed a wave storm, but, you know, you get up on it and you just feel it kind of like, it just feels like a foamy. And so I don't want that, but he's going to make me a Corky, El Corco, and in some shortboard design, kind of a fishy, wider point forward design. And I appreciate that. So I look forward to riding that. I've also been lusting after Andrini boards. I have this book by Mark Andrini called The Gift, and I have yet to read it. I got like 2 years ago. But I told you about that time. If you're a loyal listener, you know that I met up with a listener named The Flying Hutchman on Instagram, and he had this 8'8", or 9'9", something like that, Vaquero by Mark Andrini. And it just was so forgiving, and I had a really fun wave on it. And I was like, I need one of these immediately. But of course, I didn't make an impulse buy. I hear he's like a year out building them. I have this aforementioned Michel Junot 8'8" egg that I find really forgiving and fun and just as rewarding. So, you know, I'm not going to run into an Andrini, but I was looking at the Vaquero, and the description is inspired by Greeno, George Greeno, who, look him up. Full outline, single fin, round tail with low rocker, features a rolled bottom forward, fading into flat in the tail. Smooth flowing design from 6'4 to 9 feet for all around conditions. For all around conditions year round. It's so pretty. Check out Andrini Surfboards, Andreini. So I was kind of lusting after that. And then also the Serena. Serena looks dope. He makes them from like 7'10 to 9'6, and it's just super pintail-y. Almost like it's like a glider. He says it's a pintail version of the Vaquero. There you go. Smooth flowing speed lines with good hold for juicier waves. Best in winter surf, but rides year round. For heavier waves, I wouldn't want to take a board that big out. I had to try that. Next time it's big, I need to take out that. My father-in-law had this 7'10 shaped for him that I mentioned before. It has no label. It's almost a backyard shape, but I've had some good days on it, but I've only taken it out on smaller days. 7'10, 21, 3 inches thick. It has a lot of rocker to it, real pointy. I'm just concerned, like, I won't be able to duck dive it. I won't be able to duck dive it. Maybe I'm just supposed to turtle roll it and just paddle for my life in between sets. But anyway, all right, I hit everything on my agenda. I just wanted to give a shout out to those who have donated so far to win 200 gears and 200 bucks in a Roco gear. I wanted to tell you about my surf experience. And then also, I just wanted to keep up with my pace for an episode every 2 weeks. I have, I'm not going to tease my guests just in case the interview falls through, but I think I have a good one lined up for you the next episode. And check out oroco.com for the fly gear. Donate if you want to win the gear, midlifesurfer.com, or, shoot me an email, midlifesurfer@gmail.com. Or a direct message, Midlife Surfer Podcast on IG, and I could tell you how to donate. And I really appreciate you listening. Try not to doom scroll. Count your blessings. Go outside, sit in the sun for like 10 minutes and just kind of follow your breath. This is stuff I'm telling myself right now. Anyway, I love you. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Peace.